Greetings in the Lord. Overcomers.ca, the New Jerusalem. Carrying on in the Kingdom of God section, Chapter 73, 12 Manner of Fruits. Scriptures. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Revelation chapter 22, verses 2-4. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in the vision. Now it was so, that when I saw, I was in Shushan the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, and no beasts could stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and magnified himself. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west over the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had the two horns, which I saw standing before the river, and ran upon him with the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with anger against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. And the he-goat magnified himself exceedingly, and when he was strong, and the great horn was broken, and instead of it there came up four notable horns toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south, and towards the east, and towards the glorious land. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and some of the host of the stars it cast down to the ground, and trampled upon them. Yea, it magnified itself, even to the prince of the host, and it took away from him the continual burnt offering, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and the host was given over to it together with a continual burnt offering through transgression. And it cast down truth to the ground, and it did its pleasure and prospered. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said unto that certain one who spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the continual burnt offering and the transgression that maketh desolate, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, Unto 2,300 evenings and mornings, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel chapter 8, verses 1-14, American Standard Version. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, arrayed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left upon the earth, and he cried with a great voice, as a lion roareth. And when he cried, the seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Revelation 10, verses 1 to 4, American Standard Version. End scriptures. Three visions. First vision. Then being held in the atmosphere which was beyond the realm, wherein dwelt principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, I beheld a great and a mighty prophet upon the earth. Above the prophet in a cloud sat the Lord in great splendor and in mighty power. The prophet held before him two huge horns, as if they were horns cut off of cattle or a huge ram. The horns were wrapped in skins at the base and were held up by the powerful arms of the prophet. He did push these horns over the face of the earth, trampling down nations and kingdoms and dominions over the entire length and breadth of the world. No nation was delivered from the destructive power of these horns in the arms of this mighty prophet. As the prophet pushed these horns, many peoples perished and were no more alive in bodies upon the earth. Those who were proud and resisted the will of the Lord, who was above this prophet. As this prophet pushed the horns, many nations lost individual peoples who were trampled by the horns and by the power of prophecy which came forth from this one who the Lord had empowered. As the nations were in great perplexity because of the horns, I saw the Lord mock the nations for their many delusions. Nothing was able to stop the power of these horns being pushed by this prophet, even unto the uttermost parts of the earth and enveloping all time. End first vision. Second vision. As scripture first, Revelations chapter 10 and verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Standing yet again in the Lord's day, I heard the same seven thunders that the Apostle John heard, and I heard them at the very same time. The thunders were interpreted to my understanding as the testimonies of the overcomers in each church that Christ addressed in the early part of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. As they testified of their victory in Christ, they became mighty and powerful in resurrection victory, even as was Jesus when he emerged from the depths of his own tomb. So too, these did arise and testify in the seven churches of the power of his resurrection life and the glory that was theirs because of his eternal life. Thus was the interpretation of the seven thunders given as those who identified themselves with the risen Lord in the midst of the seven churches. As their words thundered, the heavens and earth were shaken at the power of their word, and time stood still. For everything that had been created entered into an eternal state, even by the sound of their words. End second vision. Third vision. In the midst of the paradise of the Lord, wherein was the tree of life, I beheld the fruits of that tree. There were 12 manners of fruit given for each season upon the tree. My heart questioned this, for we stood in a timeless state, and I wondered how it was that a tree, which was not bound by time, could bear fruit in season. Then my eyes were opened, and understanding came to me, and I knew the validity of this fruit. For it was not as it was the fruit of the Spirit that the Lord had given to the church to grow and be nourished therein, but rather it was a greater fruit. For this fruit was given to all that the Lord had created, and it was given in season as a manifestation of the various attributes and characteristics of the kingdom of God. As each fruit came forth ripe upon the branches of the tree of life, the kingdom of God would manifest itself unto all that had been created with this particular fruit. And each manifestation was a bit more of the wonder of the Lord's everlasting dominion in his kingdom. The New Jerusalem housed this tree, but the New Jerusalem will never be hid from anyone or anything that was originally created by the Lord. There will never be a hidden kingdom or a kingdom elevated out of man's reach, but only an opening manifested kingdom by which all men everywhere shall seek to enter and partake of the beauty of the Lord. There is no such thing as one people being superior to others in this kingdom. For all that the Lord created will come into this city to partake of this fruit, which manifests itself as the various graces and attributes of his everlasting dominion. End third vision and visions. For years in our past, there have been innumerable declarations of the coming of the Lord and of the escape of Christians from the perils that were coming to the world. In all this time past, dates were set many times, hopes were raised, people were prepared to be whisked off to heaven, there to enjoy the Lord and their eternal feast, while the rest of the world endured the mark of the beast and the Antichrist as creation was somehow lost once again to Satan and his evil schemes. By now, in this millennium we are in, everything should have been done. The Great Tribulation should have been over. The coming of Christ should have been a thing of the past, an event that happened for those who made the decision to accept him and to ask him into their hearts. But in all this preaching and predicting that has happened in the past of Christian history, I found very little at all about the kingdom of God being here on this earth, then growing and filling the cosmos itself. There was hardly ever any message about the Lord restoring all things here and bringing about his will here, about the descent and settling of his perfect church, the New Jerusalem, being here. Only with those who had gotten very close to the Lord and had learned how to bear their crosses, how to suffer alongside of Jesus, only those people knew of this hope that I have been writing about. There is an indisputable fact in front of us, and that fact is that the Lord is going to come. And my counsel indicates that the hope of his coming need not be waned by long-time circumstances or the waiting and watching Jesus commanded us to do. He taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," not "hang on till I get there." Our lives have to be lived, not just one day at a time, but lived with the knowledge that our Lord has a perfect plan that cannot be undone. The way to be encouraged about his coming and the manifestation of your complete identity is to fix your eyes solely upon Jesus alone in your faith and upon absolutely nothing else. As you do, your fellowship will become very factual with the Lord. He will rise in you in measures that will satiate your thirsting soul, and the Lord in your life will give you the resources needed to continue to wait until the actual day of His appearing. As the Lord has promised to come again, His promise is not slack at all, but absolutely perfect in timing. When you fix your eyes on Him and off of everything else, you will know that by seeing Him, you will have seen all you need to see to be prepared for the greater things the Lord is going to do. This fixing of your eyes upon Him does not interfere with your daily work or labor in this world, nor the responsibilities you hold to family and friends and those you work for or with. This gaze fixing has to become addictive, a habit you cannot break, a gaze of watching and waiting that will never tire you out. And as you do, your natural world will prosper and your life will be caught up in a fellowship heart to heart with Jesus, which will answer any need you have. Remember, the key to this is that single gaze. Nothing else matters around you, for the world is about to fall apart. As the symptoms of men collapse, and as they find themselves more and more without answers religiously, politically, or in their economies, you will see that there will be in the hearts of men great fear rise, much more than at any other time in world history. As this fear rises, the shakings of the Lord will rise at the very same time, making matters even worse. It will seem like the Lord doesn't care what happens, when in fact He does, and He loves mankind too much to leave them in this worldly bondage. So the shakings that are coming in whatever form are designed by the Lord to create a collapse. And rest assured, it is the Lord who is doing the shaking. When you see it, know that it is the same Lord your gaze is fixed on that is allowing this to take place so that the world can come into a conclusion before it enters the kingdom of God. The Lord is not doing this to remain in wrath forever, but He is doing this so that the world and all the nations within it may freely enter the new Jerusalem. This city of the Lord will not be situated so only the overcomer can take part in it, but it will be situated so that all nations will be able to bring their glory and honor into it. This city, rather than being structural, is a city built by the lives of His people, a church wherein the Lord Almighty is housed, and it is the gravitational point to which all creation will flow. In the midst of this city, before the throne, on another side of the river of the waters of life, grows a tree of life with 12 manners of fruits, each fruit growing in season. It is to this fruitful tree that the Lord is going to bring all the nations and all creation that He cursed in the original fall, way back in the Garden of Eden. When mankind comes finally to this tree, and the nations begin to partake of the fruit, the earth itself will become once again that Eden of the garden of His presence, and all creation will be in perfect balance. No pollutions, no killings, no raping of the land. the garden will be a creation of the Lord, a schoolhouse built so that during the millennial reign of Christ upon this earth, men will learn of him and of his love and kingdom. The gates to the city of the Lord will never be shut. Men will learn that the love of God was responsible for ending the ways of men, and they will learn to come to partake of the fruits of this tree in the midst of paradise. These are not just fanciful words. This is literally going to happen. And I'm going to stress to you, dear overcomer, you who are right now sweating drops of blood and enduring long trials and temptations, you who daily, day by day, wonder how the Lord can even stand living in your life, you who thinks that the last person who could ever overcome would be me, to you I stress that you are being made anew, not into the figure of a person that will be, but into the figure of life, the life of the ages, even the life of the Lord in resurrection power. And that life that you are being figured for comes of those trials which you endure. There is no other way. The Lord is dealing out to you these things so that a separation can happen in your heart of flesh from spirit. And the end result is that you, dear reader, in company with those who also endured the same as you, will be that tree of life in the midst of the paradise of the Lord. Your tongues will be those leaves on the tree for the healing of the nations, and you will be the fruitful boughs. It is your life that will bear these 12 manners of fruit. Know this, dear one, tossed with tempest and prevailed upon by storms. You are being fashioned with your roots deep in the soils of the kingdom of the Lord, and your branches reach forth unto the sunshine of his kingdom. It is through your life that these leaves and this fruit will manifest again. It is through your life. It is through your life. You, the reader or the listener, it is through your life that these leaves and this fruit will manifest. Those fruits are very simple in taste. They nourish the hungry soul that comes to be restored. And those fruits and those leaves restore each soul that comes into the heaven of the kingdom of the Lord. Those fruits are the manifestation of the government of the Lord in succession, each fruit bringing forth a greater manifestation of his dominion, which in turn counters the demise of the kingdoms of men. The Lord will not just bring man's dominions to destruction, but he will replace what is lost by these very fruits. For these fruits represent his government, his eternal power and glory, and the very final dominion he created for all mankind to one day abide in. It is those fruits, each given in season, which will answer the tribulation of the earth and bring it to the full governing body of the Lord with no end to his dominion and peace. These fruits are given in perfect order to restore and to build anew all that is now to be, not as it was when men walked the earth, but as it is to now be in the setting up of his eternal kingdom. Again, these fruits are given in perfect order to restore and to build anew all that is now to be, not as it was when men walked the earth, but as it is to now be in the setting up of his eternal kingdom. By setting up, I mean that the world is to have it set up, not the originality or foundation of the kingdom, but that the world system now must change. It must take upon itself a brand new identity. This that is now cannot be sustained. It must be put off, as one would put off a garment of death. So this world must put on the kingdom of God. Hence the tribulation of the hour, the smashing of the feet of mixed iron and clay. That is the fruit of this tree at work in bringing about the dominion of the Lord to replace the kingdoms and the dominions of men. This world is to cease. This world is to cease. His kingdom, which always has been, will come and remain to fill it. And to that kingdom shall all the nations, broken, judged, and in need of healing, come again. This world is to cease. His kingdom, which always has been, will come and remain to fill it. And to that kingdom shall all the nations, broken, judged, and in need of healing, come. Footnote, remember, the leaves on the tree of life are for the healing of the nations, and those leaves are your tongues. End footnote. Not to build the world again, but to now partake of the fruit of the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of the Lord, there to become new creations in his dominion, which has no end. And to you, dear reader or listener, the one who waits for their Lord, I say that you will be this tree. You will be these 12 fruits. Your life expended now upon realms of self-denial will find it again as a living tree. For all nations and all men will know that you are one fully identified with the humble Nazarene who rose again for our justification. At this point, when you look in the mirror, you wonder how anything good can come of your life. How can the Lord possibly make me new? What does he see in me that is of any value? It is to you who have lost your lives that the power of his resurrection will rise. For you will rise with him in the revelation of this day that is now to break forth upon the earth. The question still rises, how long, Lord? How long before these things happen? In footnote, how long do we wait, Lord? A question that has been asked for hundreds of years. The answer is to keep your gaze upon Jesus, your Savior, alone. And then you won't have to ask, for you will know that whether you live or die, wait long or short, he will do everything perfectly, and nothing will be found wanting in his perfect plan. You You are being built from the inside out, a tree that will extend its branches, and a life that will be boundless in fruit and leaves, flowing forth as the vehicle of the Lord in full restoration of all things and of all mankind. This honor is upon you who have borne this brief time of tribulation, of not understanding or knowing your own way or your own ability to accomplish anything in the Lord. It is your life, it is your life poured out now, your life poured out now, like water, that will return as the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of the Lord that you will be part of. The overcomers are that tree, and you are overcoming if you keep your gaze upon Jesus alone. Scripture, two scriptures. First one, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:40. Next scripture. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10:39. May the Lord bless you with these words. To be continued, Kenneth B. Visscher. We're still not done. All of the New Jerusalem. There's more to come. Praise the name of the Lord.